This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Speaking of Tim Legler, did you hear Don bring in Legler yesterday?
We'll talk to Legler, Tim Legler. Hold on. Tim Legler.
The Lakers, what?
Oh, my goodness.
I give him credit for calling the 20. Okay, let me compose myself.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse.
Like, just get it all out and keep their hope of... This is a terribly written tease. This is not fair. Things that I do off air now becomes drops on the show?
Here we go. Dave Rothenberg playing the victim once again.
This is DCR.
If anyone messes up, it's open season now.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Having a good time, having a good time.
Shooting star leaping through the sky.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on DCR appear to be the Goodyear Hotline. The head coach of the, I think it's fair to say, Rick, the hot New York Rangers joins us at 7:35 right now.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of these games against the Devils, Dave.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And keep your fingers crossed the Islanders do what you need them to do.
I swear to God, if the Islanders lay an egg over the next couple games, I'm going to be so angry at you.
I'm going to need you to show some like excitement and actually get in front of your TV and root for the Islanders.
I will actively root for the Islanders.
All right, play good.
The Bruins. I need you to win. Go win.
Listen, I'll take any time I can get Dave Rothenberg, the fringe hockey fan, to root for my team, I'll take it.
Firstly, there's no reason to be negative like that. Second of all, I'm not a fringe hockey fan. I love the Rangers. So I don't know where you're going with that. I think it's very insensitive of you.
Have you renamed the show yet, the Saturday show?
It's the hockey show.
Just the hockey show?
Yeah. For the moment.
No ideas? Any good new ideas?
Well, we got to clear things with legal at this point, so I don't know. Well, it's a work in progress. But right now, it's the hockey show.
What happened? Who's the guest? Can we get a tease for what's going on this weekend? We have a guest?
No, because I'm going to start to give you some insight, and then you're going to somehow rip it, and I don't want to do that.
No, I'll pass that whole thing. I'm done being hurt.
Don't believe that, Dave. Don't fall for the trap. He's not over it at all.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing it. I believe Pat LaFontaine might be joining us this week, though. Does that hurt?
A little bit. Chris is right. I'm not over it yet.
Over it yet.
But why did you ask then?
Because I thought I was over it. How would I know unless I tried?
So you're not there yet?
No, I'm not even close.
You thought you were over your ex, and then you saw her out with another guy, and then it hurt you a little bit more. Cut you again.
Exactly right. Yeah, I'm not over it.
I'm sorry. Clearly. I didn't bring it up. I didn't bring up the hockey show. You went back here again.
It's my own fault. I'll take the L on that. What is my own fault?
Okay. But can your Islanders please win? Please, go out there and beat the Bruins. Rangers, take care of business. Don't the Rangers end the regular season with the Bruins for two straight?
I know they play the Bruins. I'm not exactly. I mean, Santiago would probably know that.
I think they end the regular season with two against the Bruins. How great would it be if those are like almost play-in games?
It would be awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
You are
exactly
correct, Dave Rothenberg.
Last two against the Bruins,
last
right?
two games in Boston.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, last two in Boston. Maybe we go to those games, Dave.
Yeah, because that's going to happen. You always say that. We never go to games.
Take you to a couple spots, a couple restaurants I like in Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Little hidden gems.
Hopefully not that restaurant you suggested where there was a bug in Kay's food.
That's ridiculous, too, because that place has always been good. It was on. Guy Fieri loves that place.
Well, hang on a second. You suggested Michael go to a restaurant. He went. He took your suggestion, went to the restaurant, he ate, and there was a bug in his food?
No, there was a bug under Jody's food, yeah.
If anybody else would have suggested that to them, he would have lost his mind and probably never spoken to them again. Thank God it was you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's an honest mistake. Every time I've gone, the food's been great. The lobster ravioli is maybe the best thing you've ever tasted.
Fair enough. But if you go to a restaurant and there's infestation, you don't go back to that restaurant, no matter how good it is.
Yes. Agreed, Dave.
Well, anyway, but fortunately for him, he's in New York, so he's not going to have to go there again.
I understand, but I'm saying...
He said he loves chicken parm. They got great chicken parm.
Well, you know what? Not if there's roaches and bugs.
It wasn't a roach. It was just it was probably like a fruit fly or something.
I don't care what bug it is.
Right,
there's a
right.
bug in my food or a hair in my food. I'm not going back to that restaurant.
I can't say that I won't. I will probably at some point go back to that restaurant.
You'll double check, though. I'll tell you that.
Yes. Yeah, I almost don't even want to know, though. I would rather just eat it and not know.
Mm.
Like, I would rather just eat the bug and not even know about it.
Yeah, but, I mean, you bite down on it and you feel a different kind of crunch, a different kind of consistency.
Dude, this is no lie. I'm not even joking. So, there was a certain time when I was in Winthrop that we had a McDonald's in Winthrop. It's closed now, but that was, like, the
if
coolest
you tell
thing
us yet. The story about how you bit into
a bloody chicken nugget
and there was blood. I mean, you've it was told a bloody us the chicken. Story like 75 times.
It's disgusting, though. That's worse than a bug. Wouldn't you? I'd rather eat a bug than a
bloody
nugget.
Dave, it still makes me cringe every single
it's
time
repulsive.
He tells the story. Yeah,
bloody nugget. Oh,
it's repulsive. But the fact that you tell that story as if we've never heard it before, it's like talking to a grandpa.
Oh, I ate the head.
I've asked you multiple questions that I've said. I've told the story numerous times that people on Twitter answer the question before I even ask it, and you get it wrong. I'm just supposed to know that you remember that story?
Listen, who went 5 for 5 and get to know your co-host? Who was that?
Lucky.
You don't get lucky going 5 for 5, pal.
Now, this is going to be a chronic
issue. Look at him.
I hope you lose every round now moving forward.
That's not going to happen. Every who hosts tomorrow, round. By the way? Chris hosts tomorrow. Nice.
It's me?
Apparently.
Okay. There we go.
So if I went tomorrow, are Rick and I tied in that little game show?
Yeah, we both have 2 wins.
I know who's leading. I know who's at the top of the standings.
You are. Can't there do the part. Let's go. Just call. Let's call. Starting next week, let's call it the playoffs. So Candy falls apart.
What course, religion am I?
Of course, I'm going to collapse in.
Jewish, Hindu, or Catholic? Oh God,
oh that's a tough one. I don't know, Dave Rothenberg. I'm gonna go with.
Yeah, my playoff record isn't the best. It isn't the best.
Was Buddhist an answer?
Why don't you go with Buddhist? All can I go all the above? You tried everything. No, that is not correct.
Agnostic. Agnostic. That's it.
Well, that is kind of true. Let's get to the Mets for a minute. I mean, Rick, how much differently do you feel now than you did on Sunday after they were washed away and Stroman was so angry and taking to Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, you feel completely different. I mean, yesterday was David Peterson was lights out. The top of your order was awesome. You know, top three did tons of damage, and Nimmo was on a heater
he
right
is.
Now.
Woo.
Heater
rolling,
right now.
Huh?
Rolling right now. Man, you feel good about it. I don't know how you couldn't. RJ actually told me, because I criticized him for the same thing, well, on his rundown, where he threw Familia into the mix. And I was like,
I got angry at him this
yeah,
morning.
Me too.
I log on
me
to the
too.
Zoom call, and RJ's like, well, you know, I mean, the bullpen was really good. I was like, hang on a second, RJ. I said, I saw your rundown. Familia was not good. Familia was terrible. He walked the first guy, then the hit, then Loop comes in and saves the bacon, and then you come on the Zoom call and you say the same thing. So I'm glad that we're in lockstep on that. But listen, I mean, Diaz got things done. Loop pitched really well.
Yep.
Another great start. I mean, you got to feel good. So now Stroman's giving you another good start, and he's giving you 2 on the year. Walker looks good. You're going to have Carrasco coming back. Peterson, after a terrible opening start in Philadelphia, comes back against the same team and is excellent. So, I mean, it's hard not to feel pretty good about the Mets right now.
McCann had a big home run, which was nice.
Yep, which was kind of like the sealer of the game, right? Made you feel like they were definitely going to win that one.
Yeah, I think it's the conversation around the Mets is polar opposite of our conversation with the Yankees right now. I think the Mets staff has been good.
Excellent.
The Mets starting staff
the bullpen
has been good.
Is awful.
And the bullpen is a bit of a question mark.
Is it a question mark or is it just bad?
Diaz was good, too. Diaz was good last night.
Yeah, but you know that's not going to last long.
Four-run lead.
You know that's not going to last long, Rico.
Ease the pressure, Dave. Like to ease the pressure.
Diaz was good. Could you imagine ever saying, like, boy, Chapman was good. They brought him in a 7-3 game, and he really locked that one down. They brought him in a 5-1 game.
Yeah, but incremental steps. Like, we got to pray. We can't be.
Oh,
we
got to
praise
on.
Him when he pitches well.
Yeah.
You can't be all one-sided. The guy pitched well. He was good.
Game was touch and go until Diaz came in and locked it up.
Yes. No, Diaz was very good. By the way. Tell me this has not crossed your mind. DeGrom's pitching today. Have you seen the forecast today?
No, I'm actually waiting to go back into the room with the Dopplers and speak to our
exclusive weather forecaster.
Yeah, exclusive forecaster. Who is that man? I'm not yet familiar with who that exactly is. If they botch this thing up, I'm going to raise holy hell on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm convinced the guy that they're talking about that's the exclusive forecaster is the same guy that handed me the card for Lorenzo Carter at the NFL draft. It's the same guy. It's the same guy.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
Well, I don't know exactly who it is.
Exactly. I didn't know who that guy was either. Yeah. Didn't know. Nobody knows his name.
First is a lot of screens. I've seen different Dopplers.
Oh, my God. I'll never get over those sound bites.
Oh, my gosh.
Every time he goes in front of a microphone.
I know.
you never know. I mean, it's that really has not been.
It's like, not a strength.
It is not exactly right. That is not one of his strengths.
No, it's not good. But you agree, right? Don't go out there and put DeGrom on the mound and have him throw 16 pitches, and all of a sudden the rain is supposed to pour all day long. So be smart about this and use him tomorrow. Please do not use DeGrom today unless you're going to play that game.
No, they're smarter than that, though. I mean, they're not.
Oh, come on. They just did it.
First is a lot of screens. You've seen different Dopplers.
Yeah, but you can't be. I mean, that's fine. They did it once. They can't make the same mistake.
Don't say that. Don't say that, Rico. Okay. Don't say that about the Mets. Don't. Don't
do it to
yourself.
You know what's amazing, too? How about that happens? And I guess one of the benefits, although I don't know if it's a benefit or not, depends on the day, with Steve Cohen being on Twitter. Do you see what he wrote on Twitter? Like,
no.
Right after that whole situation happened?
Mm-mm.
Someone actually, you know, tweeted, and I don't even think they tweeted at him. How much would it cost? Like, is it possible?
Oh, about the roof?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's $300 million. What do you think? I mean, it would make sense, wouldn't it?
It would, well, for multiple reasons. First of all, it would be great for the Mets. It would be great for the fans. You have to imagine you're going to be playing October baseball. Now you're going to play in 72-degree weather. And how about, like, concerts that
events and stuff,
here?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Think about the additional revenue. How great would it be to go to a big concert at Citi Field? How cool would that be?
No, it'd be awesome. I mean, that's in. I don't like to spend other people's money, but Steve Cohen, $300 million is. It's not.
It's a pocket
crazy,
change.
It's well within.
It's pocket it's, change.
Yeah, it's not a crazy amount of money.
No.
I would love that. I mean, that would just, even as a player, though, too. Especially like this time of the year, when it's like it would be nice to know that every single day, like you go into that day knowing that I'm going to show up at a certain time, and the game is going to happen at a certain time. It's not going to be I'm going to show up, and then, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I'm going to get prepared for a game, then I'm going to sit around for 2 hours, and then I'm going to go play for a couple innings, and then
and
come out.
Weather's never an issue. It never is an issue again. It would be glorious.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a great name. Clemente in Massapequa. Good morning, Clemente.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I love the show. Love the early slot, too. I appreciate you guys waking up crazy early to do this. You keep me entertained and up on my drive-in in the morning. But what I was calling about with the NBA, you know, I definitely agree with Dave here. You know, I think that after a while, like, the fans are going to get annoyed. And at the end of the day, that's what affects the bottom line. And I know players definitely want to win championships, but owners want money. You know, like the Brooklyn game last night, that would have been an awesome matchup, Brooklyn and Philly. But I didn't watch that game at all. I watched it for a few minutes before the Knicks game was on, and it was boring. You know, it's not the matchup. There's no matchup. I get it. You want to kind of wait to the playoffs and go for a championship, but you got to play the season, too.
Yeah, I think we all understand that. I just think, I mean, Chris and I's point is that that's where the NBA is at right now, is teams that are as good as the Brooklyn Nets or, you know, the Clippers – feel like it doesn't matter where we finish. As long as we get to the postseason healthy and rested, then we like our chances. And here's the other little thing that people should know. I mean, owners make a lot of their money in the playoffs, too.
Yep.
They're not paying the players in the playoffs.
Yep.
So it sucks for the fan. I get it.
It's awful.
I mean, if I was taking my little game and I was going with the expectation that I was going to see, you know, Kevin Durant or whoever it was, knowing that they were healthy – and then showing up at the game and realizing that it was a load management day. Yeah, I mean, I would be.
You'd be furious about it, especially if it was a like it was something that you really saved up for and was a big deal to you and your family, and you made a point about it. And then you showed up to the game and you're watching secondary players. You'd be upset about it.
Of course I would. Of course I would. I get it. I understand it. But I just don't. I don't see how it changes. I don't.
How about if the TV networks get upset? How about if the ratings start to fall a little bit in the regular season? Because, I mean, I wonder what the ratings were for the game last night on ESPN, where you'd imagine it could have been good, and maybe it wasn't as good because they didn't play those guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the ratings is going to do it, Dave. I think it's the negotiation of the media rights deal. If that dips or it doesn't increase the way that they expect it to when they're next up, I think that changes the conversation amongst players, and maybe they revisit the whole load management thing. But until that point, nothing's going to change in terms of how the NBA and the players do business.
Well,
it's just not
going to
happen.
But why would it, right? I mean, you get the same salary. The postseason's the same setup. You have a better chance to win in your mind if you're doing that. So unless there's a financial implication, what's the impetus to make the change if you're the players of the teams?
No, and if you're one of these players, especially the star players, you know that the fans are going to judge you on your ability to elevate your team to the point where you can compete for championships. I mean, that's the knock on James Harden's career, right? He's got all of these regular season stats, but once he gets into the playoffs, he disappears. He turns into a ghost. His teams never play up to the expectations. Like, I mean, it's about postseason performance. A lot of these stars realize their legacy is going to be judged on how many championships they win. That's what it is. That's what the fans made it. That's what the media made it. So that's what the stars are doing, trying to set the stage so they can be ready to be at their best when the playoffs roll around. If that means missing a few regular season games, so be it.
Yeah, I don't know how you fix it, in all honesty, because I think part of the reason why, you know, teams are doing this is because the science shows you that, you know, there are a certain amount of days that a guy should have off. An 82 game schedule in a short period of time is not conducive to keeping guys healthy. It's not, with the amount of travel and everything else.
But how do you? I guess you brought up a good question. How do you fix it?
I don't know, because how you package it could be different than, you know, we're just doing load management. All you got to do is tell the guy, hey, you know, just so you know, today's game you're missing because you got a tight calf or a tight hamstring, or your back is a back spasm. You can't tell a guy if he's hurt or not. I mean, he could walk in and tell you, you know, my back doesn't feel right. And when you're paying these guys this much money and they're that important, especially in the NBA, when one guy can make that big of a difference, you're like, oh no, okay, yeah, let's get some treatment on that thing and make sure we don't make this thing worse.
That's right. Let's go to Mike in the car. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I mean, to me, the NBA is unwatchable. I was a big basketball fan, big Knicks fan. It's predictable. It's unwatchable. The stars are unlikable. The players are you know, almost too empowered at this point, because you got two or three teams that can win. It's not worth watching the sport. There's too many other things to watch. I'm going to waste my time and watch NBA. And that's why the ratings are plummeting. No one cares. It's a joke. It's a joke of a sport. And baseball's on their way there, too, with the sitting of players. But basketball, me, my friends, everyone, my coworkers, 100% unwatchable. No one cares.
Yeah, I mean, that's the risk that you run is that because you kind of, you know, relay into fans that we don't really take the regular season serious. Like, it's not that important to us. I don't know if it makes it as important to the fans, but I think that ends up being, you know, depending on what the fan base is.
Yeah, and it's even less important this year than ever because there's no real home court advantage.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but I got to pump the brakes on nobody caring about the NBA. Plenty of people care about the NBA, and a lot of people are looking forward to the eventual matchup that we're expecting with the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Lakers. So let's chill out with the nobody cares about the NBA.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. All right, we found him. We found him. Waldo in Washington Heights. Good morning, Waldo.
Good morning, Dave. Dave.
Yes.
I'm a big, big fan of Kevin Durant, but honestly, I got to tell you this. I'm extremely upset with the way that he's been missing all these games this year. He just came back, and he's doing the same thing again. This is getting out of hand and ridiculous. The NBA needs to do something about this.
But what can you do?
I don't know. They have to do something. I don't know. They have to come up with something. I don't know what can they do, but they have to come up with a way to force the players to play.
How can you force the players to play? And thanks for the call, Waldo. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Now, they do this thing with the primetime games, right, where if you just load manage guys, you get fined. But I don't think the organizations care about that all that much.
Not at all, Dave. And if it means keeping a player like Kevin Durant healthy, a guy that you're paying $30-plus million a year, who cares? Like, you'll pay the fine as an organization just because that player is that important to your team's success. I mean, I can understand having issues with other guys around the NBA load managing, but can you really have an issue with Kevin Durant after coming off of the year he had with rehabbing from the Achilles and then dealing with the hamstring this season? Can you be mad at Steve Nash for resting him on the second night of a back-to-back? I don't think you can be mad at that.
No, and I mean, that's peanuts, too. I mean, that's chump change compared
that's
to whatever money you'll make for. I mean, just think about how much money these teams would make if they won a championship. Like, all in.
Endless amounts of money. Yep. I guess the one thing that you maybe can be bothered by in this scenario is, why didn't you rest him against Minnesota and play him against Philadelphia?
Yes. That's the biggest criticism, is once that Minnesota game got moved and it became a back-to-back, why have him out against it doesn't matter if he plays or not against Minnesota. I mean, you were up 40 at one point, and he was still on the floor. Like, which game would – you would have hoped that they prioritized the game that was for first place against the Sixers.
That's
as opposed
right.
to the Minnesota
But they didn't
game.
Even do that.
No, because I think – and you said this the other day, and I hadn't heard it until you said it. There was some concern bringing him back against the Knicks because the Knicks play really physical basketball. Was that a good time to bring him back from the hamstring? That kind of physicality to the game. What game is going to be more physical, more intense? The Minnesota game or the Philly game?
I mean, we know which game is going to be more intense.
Okay, so that must be going into part of the thinking.
I'm sure, and they have waved the white flag. As far as the regular season is concerned, we just don't care. We'd like to win. It is not all that important to us right now for Brooklyn. And you know what? It'll probably work out in the end for them.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
David Quinn. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well, and better when your team is playing well. So, you know, in watching the Rangers just about every game this season, it feels like, and tell me if you agree or not, feels like you're on the verge, if not playing your best hockey right now.
Yeah, we certainly feel good about the direction we're going, and you know, seems to be that the young kids have certainly continued to make a jump, and now our veterans and our leaders and our top players are playing well as well. So, you know, when you have that happen with the roster we have, you go on a little bit of a run that we're going on right now and put ourselves in a position to fight for a playoff position and, you know, make the last 3 weeks of the season meaningful.
Coach, I hate to even ask you to speculate on this, but I mean, me watching and what Mika looks like now as opposed to, you know, the struggles early on in the season, and you saw him every day. How much of having to deal with COVID and things like that do you think led to him getting off to the kind of start that he got off to?
You know, having gone through it myself, and he and I were talking about this yesterday, I mean, I don't know if people realize the effect it has on you and the lingering effects. You may be cleared, you may, you know, be let out of quarantine, you may feel better physically, but there's an aspect to this thing that affects people differently, and I think without question it had an effect on him.
Coach, the other night, Igor gets his first shutout of the season. What are you seeing from him as far as his development goes?
Well, I think there's just another level of confidence. This guy's always been a confident player, as he should be, because he's had an awful lot of success at every level he's been at. But to be able to kind of string together the stretch he's strung together so far, and, you know, feeling the way he does about his game, there's just a level of confidence that you see. And you know, he's so athletic, he's so poised, he reads the rush very well. He's in that zone, and you know, Ricky obviously knows what that's all about. I mean, when a goalie's stealing it, they're tough to beat, and I think that's the mindset he's in right now.
David Quinn, head coach of the Rangers, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. I know that you respect the Devils, and I know that every game is a game that is not easy to win. But I would think that after the win the other night against New Jersey, and then the next three coming up against this team, who is not going to go to the playoffs, who is, you know, let's be fair, one of the lesser teams in this division right now, you need to clean up, you know, tonight and then over the weekend, right? You look at that and agree?
100%. I mean, we've talked about this as a group. I talked about it after our game the other night. But you look at, everyone, it's a mistake if people look at, you know, everybody's schedule and say, oh, they're playing the Devils in Buffalo, and those are games they're 100% going to win. I mean, you look at what's happened with Buffalo the last two games. It'd be Philly, and the Bruins went into overtime with them, and were lucky to get 2 points. I mean, I really believe that the games with Philly, I mean, with the Devils and Buffalo, for the teams that are fighting for these playoff spots, they're going to determine who makes the playoffs and who doesn't. And, you know, you'll make a big, big mistake if you show up to these games thinking that you're just going to win them, because, you know, we were in this position 2 years ago where we were out of it and we played our asses off down the stretch. We were making life miserable for teams that wanted to make the playoffs. And, you know, Columbus got in the playoffs 2 years ago when they made all those trades because they beat us in a shootout the second to last game of the season. If we had beaten them in the shootout, they wouldn't have to play the last game of the season to try to get in the playoffs. So, you know, these teams are very dangerous. They got nothing to lose. They play hard, and they make it hard on people. And, you know, the Devils games and the Buffalo games for the Rangers, for Philly, for Boston, those games are going to determine who makes the playoffs or not.
Yeah, and let's be honest, too. I mean, that Devil, I mean, I get it, the Devils kind of sold off and everything else, but, I mean, even that in that win, I mean, early on in that game, things could have went sideways, a whole different direction. I mean, Shesterkin made a couple huge saves in that game early.
Yes, he did. And we were lucky to get out of that second period up 1-0. I mean, as that period was going on, and we had nothing going, and you could just see, you know, early on in the game, we had 6 or 7 incredible grade-A chances we didn't capitalize on. And I think what can happen is your team, you know, I thought we were ready to play. I really did. I mean, they had a chance early, but after that, the first 6 or 7 minutes, we had 6 or 7 unbelievable chances that we didn't convert on. And I think maybe our mindset changed a little bit, and we thought it was going to be easy, and they took it to us in the second period. We were lucky to get out of that period, you know, 1-0. And then I thought we buckled down and, you know, respected the game and respected our opponent in the third period and won the game.
Now, Coach, at what point – sorry, Chris. Coach, at what point do we make the decision that I'm not even – I can't even look at these guys. I'm not going to go in the locker room between periods to speak. Like, at what point do you make your mind up that you're going to do that?
Well, actually, it happened for the first time the other night. I mean, in between the second and third, Troops sticks his head inside the coach's room. He's like, "Do you think you need to come in?" And I said, "No, I don't. Go handle it." And, you know, it was just another step for Troops. He's playing really well, doing a lot of things we need him to do on the ice. And, you know, that's another level that we need from a leadership standpoint off the ice. And, you know this. I mean, Chris, you guys know this. I mean, you know, a coach's voice can get old, you know, and regardless of the relationships and how you feel about your coach, I mean, it just gets old. You don't want to hear the same voice every now and then. And, you know, it was really good that he did that, and, you know, it worked.
Coach, it's got to be a lot of fun being around that kind of team where you have that type of leadership. It absolutely has to be.
It makes you feel so good as a coaching staff when you have that, and it's pivotal. It's pivotal. You can't win without it.
Yeah. Yeah, Coach, I want to ask you about Adam Fox. I mean, he's having some kind of year. He leads all defensemen in assists and total points. I think he has to be in the conversation for the Norris Trophy, maybe even the favorite. But I wanted to ask you, like, did you ever expect to see this kind of season from Fox?
I'd be lying to say that this level, but I, you know, when the season ended last year, I just felt like there was another level for him to get to. I wasn't sure how quickly it was going to happen because, and I've said this a lot about him, I mean, everybody recognizes what he does offensively and his hockey IQ, and you just marvel at some of the things he does. And, you know, early on last year, I was surprised at what he was doing at this level, but I'm no longer surprised. But one of the things I think that makes him different than everybody else is how hard he competes defensively and his defensive play, which I think goes unnoticed. And for a guy who's not very big, he's got great hockey strength, he's got great leverage, he's always in the right position for the most part in his one-on-one battles, regardless of the size difference. And, you know, you combine those two aspects of anybody's game and you got a special player. And without question, he should be one of the leading candidates for the Norris Trophy. And like you said, Chris, he might be the leader.
David Quinn with us here, 98.7 ESPN, head coach of the Rangers. Give me an honest answer. Islanders, Bruins, next couple of nights. Do you even look at the scoreboard? Do you see that you're a couple points behind Boston? Or is it like, let's go take care of our business and I don't want to know what other teams are doing right now?
Damn right I follow those games. Absolutely. Glued to the TV. Absolutely. 100%. And I always give you honest answers.
I know you do, and that's why we love having you on. Great.
Well, you heard him when you asked him, I mean, earlier in the interview, he asked, like, look what happened against Boston and Buffalo. Went to a shootout. Boston lucky to get the second point. He knows exactly what's going on. He's paying attention to everything.
I just wanted to confirm. I love it. Honestly, I think that the fan, because I can't tell you, Coach, how many times we have someone on, like a coach, someone that's in a position like yours, and I put my head to the grindstone, and I don't look at other results, and I don't want to know what other teams are doing. I respect the fact that you give us an honest answer and tell us you care about it.
That's a crock. Every coach pays attention to those things. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just, it's your livelihood, right? And, you know, what goes on in those games determines what's going to happen with us. And, you know, obviously we do control our own fate to a large degree, but our fate's a little bit easier to handle if some things fall in our favor with the games within our, especially with the setup we have this year, you know, with every game's a division game.
Coach, speaking of crocks, this is the last one for me. I want to get your honest opinion on this because, again, you only tell us the truth. How would you feel if you were in my position on this show and, you know, ESPN Radio decides that they want to launch a new hockey show on Saturday mornings, and they decide not to ask you. Instead, they ask Dave to be the host of the hockey show. I mean, would you be offended at all by that?
Yeah, I'd be offended and a little bit pissed.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd be offended. Not at Dave. I mean, it's not his fault. But
thank you, Coach. See,
I'd be storming into somebody's office and say, what the heck's going on here? You know?
But you think it's unfounded and unfair that he's taking his anger out at me, right?
Now, that's very true. It's not your fault that you're so talented, Dave, and they think that you can handle the assignment. You know
Thank
what
you
mean?
Very much, Coach. I appreciate that greatly. See, he gets it. He gets it.
Ricky, I can see you'd want to breeze over those Islander games. We're talking just about the Devils games.
Let's focus just on the Devils. Less than
a week ago. I mean, we don't want to talk about that.
Hey, we all know who you're rooting for in tonight's game. You're rooting for the Islanders, so let's not – come on. Try to help you guys out today.
That's right. Absolutely. Damn right I'm rooting for the Islanders
tonight. I know. I mentioned it's not easy to root for the Islanders, but if you're a Rangers fan, you do the next couple of nights. Coach, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Good luck.
All right, guys.
Go Islanders, and thank you for defending me against Rick for unnecessarily beating me up
for
the hockey
show. No problem, Dave. Have a good day, guys.
We appreciate it. That is you have to go there with him?
I think he's the perfect person to ask. It worked out perfectly for you. What are you, crazy?
I mean, he defends me because I've done nothing wrong.
Not only did he defend you, I mean, the compliments. You're so amazing at what you do.
Well, that's very nice.
It's like he's on your payroll.
He gets it. Maybe I'll have him on as a guest on Saturday morning.
He gets it.
That's the David Quinn Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains can make your dreams of owning a luxury vehicle a reality. Stop in or they'll come to you for an at-home test drive. You can visit pepeautogroup.com to shop all their luxury brands and the Macallan Double Cask 12-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey. It's the perfect balance of American and European sherry. Season O Cask, two worlds, one Macallan, imported by Edrington Americas. Please enjoy responsibly. Now, DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Phone lines are all lit up. People want to talk to us. We'll get to three stars in a little bit, but we know where Santiago is going to go. He's going to give it to Rick, and it'll be a fait accompli. We know that.
You know what's amazing, though, too, about Quinny? He's so good.
Great.
But I mean, Chris asked the question. It was a good question because no coach wants to have to go into a locker room in between every single period and start yelling and screaming and holding guys accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you want to do.
Of course not.
You want the
team. Then your voice, it doesn't carry the same weight if you do it all the time.
Exactly right. Like you want your leadership group to be the ones that step up and hold guys accountable because those are much more powerful meetings than you coming in every single time and saying the same stuff.
100%.
But Rick, those teams are also a lot more fun to be a part of.
Yep. Yeah.
Where the players police themselves?
Yeah, man.
Chris, I just got a text. If we extend the hockey show to 2 hours, do you have any interest? Because I don't want to do 2 hours. Would you have any interest in doing the second hour?
Now you're just being bad guys. It's amazing to me.
Well, I mean, if we
extend, I wouldn't even doubt that happened. Want to do that I'm sure they'll have Carlin host in the second hour.
Wow.
Chris knows a lot about hockey. He's got hockey hot takes all over the place.
It was a great. I'll tell you what, he was the star of KJZ with that take because they had no idea. Not one of them would have had an answer.
No clue. It's like I invented fire.
Whatever to you crack said, it
was a, mother, was a mythological sea monster.
Lou.
Yeah,
we love Lou. He's the
we
best.
We love Lou. We love Lou.
Rick, I'm not going to let management or Dave Rothenberg continue to disrespect you with that Saturday morning hockey show. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be a part of it.
I will never do it. If they ask me to do anything outside of the show, the answer is always no. Oh. There will never be a yes. Yeah.
And I play the victim. Let's go to Owen in Brooklyn.
This is the perfect time to be the victim. I am the victim.
Oh, please. Such a beast. Owen Brooklyn. Good
morning. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
What's going on, Owen?
Let me go back to basketball. Hello?
You got it?
Here.
So going back to basketball, I was just wondering, we talk about load management and all that and the analytics of how many games a guy should play. How come they don't use the analytics when they set up the schedules? That same analytics, like maybe three games in between each game,
How can you possibly do that? The season would go a full year. You'd be playing all year long.
That's always the argument, though, O, is that I'm sure the conversations between the union and the owners – when the owners are saying, hey, you know what Adam Silver's saying, we need you guys to play, is, well, let's play less games then. That's Let's play less games.
Yeah, but the owners are never going to agree to that.
No, that dies on the vine when you start talking about the television contracts and the implications about the amount of money that that generates. Like, you can't shrink the season. And you can't alter the schedule just because those TV companies have other commitments. So, yeah, I mean, changing the schedule when they play games, that's not gonna be a solution to the problem of load management.
And they're doing it this year anyway. I mean, not from their own decision, but they're doing it, and guys are still missing a ton of games.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you're playing 72 games. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
So it's happening regardless. Lonnie in Harlem, our number one fan. Good morning, Lonnie.
Yes, I sure am. Family, what it do? How's it going? Uncle Rico, great open once again today. You really remembered my Folgers comment from like so long ago. That's pretty impressive, Uncle Rico.
Wait, you stole open? That?
No. Aww. It was one time I had called in and I said, you guys are like, you're better than Folgers in the morning because, you know, you're like, you wake me up, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact that Uncle Rico remembered that is crazy. Also, Uncle Rico, I guess you can join Peter with the bug eating on the air.
I already did that, Lonnie.
Oh, I ate the head.
Time out. I already did that. I did that on SportsCenter, and I didn't just eat like one or two. I ate the whole cup of the crickets. One shot.
I think I actually remember that. But also, I want to thank Cousin Ray for giving me the opportunity to be a second star. I really appreciate that. Dave, it was good to hear that you had your water downstairs and you had somewhere to empty the tank as well. Brother Canty, I'm very happy to see that you decided to stick around with us today. Now, CeCe, I'm not panicking or nothing about our Yanks, but it's looking, you know, pretty scary so far this year. The bats is not meeting the ball or banging them as much as they should be, like Booney said. The bullpen is being ran out there a little bit too much for my liking. And most times, to be honest with you, I mean, they just look lost out there. So if things don't get better, at what point should we start breaking that glass, CeCe?
I think we got to wait until the end of May. We got to wait until the end of May before we can make any determination about it. Dave, I'm not going to believe anything I see for the first month of the season. So once we get into May, if things are still shaky, if you're still looking at the division standings and the Yankees aren't in first place, then I'll start to panic. I'll start to worry about it.
Let's give them a scenario, Rick. Yankees under 500, end of May, and they are 6.5 games out of first place. Panic.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I'm pushing the panic button. It's break glass in case of emergency. It's Brian Cashman better have a huge move up his sleeve right before the trade deadline in order to drastically improve this team's prospects for the season. Has to.
Yeah, I was told Canty doesn't have glass in the house anymore. He don't have glass in the house anymore.
He's using paper cups.
It's way too early to panic, though. It's way too early to do that, man. Way too early. We're 12 games in.
Listen, how many years ago was it? They were 9-9, and we.
Yeah,
were,
it was 18 games in. Yeah, I was panicked.
Right,
and look what happened to that. Which is case in point as to why I'm not panicking right now.
I think we've seen your maturation process and progress right before our eyes.
Yeah, now we just need to see the maturation of the starting rotation.
Yeah, I don't know that you're going to see that, though.
Well, they're gonna get reinforcements, though, right, Dave? They're going to rely on some of the young guys at some point that get called up. They'll get starts. They'll get opportunities. Luis Severino will be back. And yep. Tyon and Kluber, guess what? They can't get any worse than what they've already been. So hopefully those guys will improve as they get more opportunities. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully so for the Yankees fan. Let's go to Spike, formerly New Jersey, currently St. Pete. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning, my friends. My day was quite interesting yesterday, going to Dunedin with my kid and watching the Yankees, or the so-called Yankees, who I love, play with their heads up their asses. It was wild, man. I was so close to everybody. Urshela was 5-6 feet away. Hands the batting gloves, puts it on the railing. I give it to a little kid. And I said, where's Stan? Where's LeMayu? She grows beard back. What the hell's happened? They didn't give a crap about that game. We stayed in that hot sun out there for 9 innings, and they have two Hall of Famers sons, and was it Guerrero, Biggio, and who's the other guy? And there's an 88-year-old woman, I just told me her age, for the Yankee fans, screaming that when Jay Bruce comes up, go back to the Mets, you bum. You know, it was like a hell of an experience. Thought of you, Rick. I almost called Mons up and had him send a call over. It was so bad.
That'll make you feel better.
But But you know, it was nice. It was nice. I come back. It was great bonding with the kid. He had a great time. And I go back and watch the Knicks game. And I'm going to tell you something now. You know how much I love the Knicks. This New Orleans team closes out worse on threes. And finally, Bullock and I always forget the other guy's name. Would have been
Burks.
They finally both had good games together, which I brought up a couple of days ago. And so Barrett didn't. Someone's always filling the hole. This guy is such a good coach. It's so enjoyable to watch the Knicks. Dave says it all the time. He looks forward to every game like I do. So you take the good with the bad. Chris, I agree with you. You give the Yankees a chance, but they were not into that game yesterday. And for the life of me, I know the show's over soon. I don't know why they gave him a day off with a day off coming.
It's part of their philosophy. You get two for the price of one. You give them yesterday off, they have today off, you get 2 days off.
Do you need 2 days off in a row, though? I guess their mindset is you do, but do you really?
In the second week of the season, Dave.
Right? I mean, Stanton couldn't play five games in a row. Remember, that was what Boone said last weekend?
Yeah.
And now he needs a day off on Wednesday when there's a scheduled day off on Thursday?
Yeah, you can understand why people get frustrated with that. Like, the team has not played well.
And you're a DH?
That's good work. That's good work if you can find it.
Yeah,
Dave.
It is.
That's good work if you can find it. Especially getting paid what he gets paid.
Watching that game yesterday, right? One of the most amazing things to me is when I watch Alejandro Kirk play Major League Baseball. The fact that he actually plays Major League Baseball,
right?
Yeah. He doesn't miss a meal, huh?
Do you see what he's listed at?
Well, it's got to be 275.
Whatever it is, he weighs way more than that. He's listed at.
He's over 300 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I would say
how tall do you think he is?
The same height, whether he's standing up or you put him on his side.
Yeah. I'd say 5'7".
He's listed as 5'8", 265 pounds.
Yeah, there is no way he's 265.
No.
You talk about just spitting in the face of...
I mean, he looks like a softball player.
Athlete,
he's
Dave.
Huge.
Athlete. He's an athlete.
It's a good hitter.
Give guy credit, man. Yeah, he is.
He can hit the baseball.
Give him credit. I don't know how he moves, but I mean...
Nothing gets past him.
No. He's a
talent.
Big guy. 5'8". But he's got to be 290.
He's big. Yeah, I mean, but 5'8". I mean, that's
I think you can put a 3 in front of that, Dave.
You think he's 5'8", 3 something?
Yeah. I think you can put a 3 in front of that.
He is an enormous human being. All right, Santi, I'm going to give you plenty of time here. You can walk through it slowly, play audio if you'd like. It's 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars of DCR. Number 3.
I would figure the day that I don't have much audio, you'd give me extra time. I appreciate it. I'm going to preface this by saying I don't like giving myself stars even when it's for a good reason, but due to the peer pressure today, I'm going to give myself a star because I couldn't say the words, and I was terrible with the English language, and I don't think I did a great job in an observation, so I'm going to give myself a star for that, even though it's negative, and I don't really see the point. But
so let me get this straight. So observations has now turned into observations, and the 3 stars is turning into...
If you're awful, you now get a star.
Well, no. Like Dave is over here complaining about the stars.
Shesterkin allowed 7 goals on 21 shots. He's your 3rd star of the night, everybody. Igor, take a quick skate around.
Dave is complaining about the stars he doesn't get. He complains about things that are said or not said in other segments. So, you know, I figure this kind of...
I don't understand how I'm to blame for this. You can blame me for a lot. How am I to blame for you giving yourself a 3rd star for doing an awful performance in certain areas today?
You are playing the victim again.
Number two,
here, you'll appreciate this, is the coach David Quinn, who came to your defense.
Yeah, he did.
Very big team player is David Quinn, and he does it without angering anybody. That's what a head coach does. So David Quinn's going to get a 2nd star.
Number one.
And as if there was any doubt who the 1st star was going to go to.
Forget what Folgers told you, Dave and Chris. This is the best part of waking up.
I mean, the one he had last week was slightly better, but that was a flawless open from Rick DiPietro this morning, and he should parade his 1st star. So enjoy that one, Rico, and bring it into Friday. Finish the week strong.
You know what, Ray? I'm just going to sit back and revel.
Well played. Well played.
There were many revelers at the party. I got to be honest. I mean, what you did with the open today was like a Picasso. It was a Van Gogh. It was beautifully painted. It was wonderfully outlined. It was beautifully done. I give you a ton of credit for that performance to open the show. earlier today.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.